I heard an illustration some time ago of it's kind of a description of what life is like in our almost a post-Christian culture today, where skepticism abounds, and there's a sense that we have been unshackled from some of the constraints of our past. And the illustration is of a bunch of people on a boat, maybe a ship, and they have sailed out of sight of land, and so it's just water all around. And that's an illustration of the past being left behind, the past that is seen as restrictive, but now we are free. We are free to chart our path and chart our course. But the reality is that's an illustration that demonstrates that there is no path, there is no course. You can't see land. There's no destination. And so in our culture, there's a sense that you can choose your destination, but there's no destination offered. And so we are told that to find our own meaning, create our own meaning, and find whatever value we have in swabbing the decks or rearranging deck chairs or playing shuffleboard or just passing time on the ship with whatever passes your interest. And this is where we are to find meaning. And the reality is that's an illustration of lostness, where, sure, you're free to do anything, but we don't know what to do. There's no direction. And I think sometimes that, even as followers of Jesus, sometimes we inadvertently live that way. We inadvertently live, but we're kind of grasping at aims and intentions. We've been going through the book of Proverbs. Well, not really going through the book. I've been picking Proverbs to talk about. And this morning, we're looking at Proverbs 29:18, which says, "When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful." And I want to kind of rip that apart this morning and sort of unpack it. We do have a YouVersion Bible app event. If you have the YouVersion Bible app on any smart device, there are, you know, where do we go from here questions? How do I apply this on a Monday to Saturday? And my number's up on the screen. You can text me if you want. I don't know that we'll have time for text messages this morning. When I was younger, in the 80s, sometime in the last millennium, this verse was one of the favorites for type A personality pastors. And they would always go with the old traditional translation of it. The old traditional translation said, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And this was used as a justification for vision statements. We need to have a vision statement as a church, because if we don't have a vision statement, then this church will die. And I mean, that may be true, but that's not what this verse says. This verse, so the word for vision there is not just an intention or a plan or a destination. The word for vision, and I really like the way this translates it, the word for vision is divine guidance. In that culture, it would be something like prophecy or a message from God. Where there is no message from God, there's a problem. And what's the problem? In this translation, it says, "When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild." The original language there, it implies something like, some translations say they cast off restraint. So whatever ties you down, you throw it off and you do whatever, and you end up like a ship out of sight of land. You're not roped down to anything. You have no destination. You just kind of wander wherever. When there's no sense of God's message in your life, you do whatever. That idea of cast off restraint, it kind of echoes that story in the Old Testament where Moses is leading God's people. He leads them out of the promised land. They cross the Red Sea or Reed Sea, and they end up at this mountain where Moses is receiving God's instructions. And he's gone for so long, and he's the spokesman for God. He's gone for so long, the people at the bottom of the mountain go like, "We don't know what to do. We're not sure Moses is ever coming back." So they fill that vacuum with their own means of worshiping God. And they say to Aaron, Moses' brother, "You know, create a golden calf, and we will worship God in this way." And when Moses starts coming from down from the mountain, and he's with his partner, his servant Joshua, and he says, there's a noise of war from the camp. And Moses says, no, that's not war. That's the sound of revelry. They've gone wild. And the language there implies some kind of wild orgy happening. Because when God's revelation is not heard, the people run wild. You do whatever. This is what I see in our culture, and I see it with a lot of well-intentioned followers of Jesus too. Without God speaking into our lives, we are always aiming for something. What are you aiming for? And our culture tells us in a lot of areas what to aim for. Aim for a bigger bank account. Aim for the status that money brings. Aim for pleasure and entertainment. Aim for thrills. And without any other voice, we default to the path of least resistance. And we aim for what everybody else or what our culture is telling us to aim for. We live in a highly marketed culture, probably more so than any other time in history. And the marketing is smart. I mean, there's very, very smart people that are working on selling you stuff. Smarter and smarter all the time. Because if you're ever online, I don't know if anybody here is on the internets, but if you're on Facebook or you're on Google, there are algorithms that track your searches and introduce to you products that it has decided you should be interested in. We were replacing something. Microwave. We had to replace our microwave because it broke. It didn't just break. Josh, who used to be our youth pastor, broke it. That's why he's not pastor here anymore. Not really. So we're looking around, like, we need to replace this thing. We're shopping online. We want to find a good deal. And then for months afterwards, every time I'm on one of these things, I got ads for microwaves because that's what it thinks I'm interested in. And so the marketing is tailored to you. And there's something that there's a strategy in marketing that tells you that you are not enough without my product. You ever watch a car commercial and notice that it doesn't tell you anything about the car? It tells you what your life would be like if you owned this car. Now, that's not true for more economical cars. More economical cars tell you what kind of value you get, but more expensive cars tell you what life you can have if you own this car. And people believe this. If I buy this car, I'll be driving along the beach with the wind in my hair and a beautiful woman by my side. That's going to happen if you buy the car? Really, is that going to happen? But that's what marketing does. Marketing is designed to tell you how your life is less than perfect without that product. And so without any other voices in our life, we default to the voices of marketing. Not necessarily specifically, not necessarily about what microwave you buy or what car you buy, but how your life isn't perfect without the pursuit of all these other things. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. They cast off restraint. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. Now, I want to clarify this. Whoever obeys the law is joyful. This is not some kind of command to conform to the laws of the land. Okay, so if you obey all the laws of Canada, your life will be joyful. That's not what it's talking about. When it says obey is the law, it's talking about the law of God. And in that first covenant, that covenant that Moses helped set up with his people, the idea was this law, these are the parameters of living fully. This is the life that God intended you to live as his people. And so at its basic, most reduced sense, living according to the law, obeying the law, or obeying God's intention, is living the full life that God would have you live. Experiencing the life that God would have you live. That's where joy comes, when you're living that full life. That's the highest ideal. Not conformity to Canadian law, but living according to God's intention. So, there are different stories we can live by, different narratives. And there's a better narrative than living as a consumer or living as a producer in the economic terms of the world. In fact, when you look at the problems of the world as they are articulated today, they tend to be articulated in economic terms. Why are people unhappy? Because they are economically deprived. What is the solution? Stop economically depriving people. That's it. That's the only narrative that's available in our news feeds right now. If there was less inequity, people would be more happy. And we forget that there are people that have, well, a lot more than I have, and they're significantly more unhappy than I have. Than I am. And so that's the narrative in our world, and there are other narratives as well. We don't have to subscribe to that narrative. You don't have to live that story. You can choose a different story, and the story that's available to you is God's story. Think about Graham telling his story and the path that God took him on and the path that God is taking him on is not about just increasing economics. There's a path, there's a story that God has for you, and it's the best story you can live. It's the best story that you can live. So what are you aiming for right now? We don't think about that question very often. We're unconscious in our living sometimes. We follow the path of least resistance. And my question to you is, whatever you're aiming for right now, whether it's your next vacation or a promotion or retirement or whatever, my question is, how's that working for you? Are you fulfilled and satisfied and joyful in that story, in that narrative, in what you're aiming for? Because God has something better for you. And how do you find that? Well, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law, the implication is that obeying the law is hearing God's divine guidance. And God speaks to you. He speaks to me. And he speaks to us. And that is something that is available to each one of us. And I'm not saying the joyful life is the easy life. I'm not saying that at all. Trust me, it's not. It's the worthwhile life. Are you living the worthwhile life? When you are dead and gone, and here's a hint, we all will be one day. Okay, I have yet to meet the person that will not die. Okay, so will your life have been worthwhile? Because you can achieve the best bank account, the best vacations, the best thrills, and what do you leave behind? What is it? Sure. We can all spend an eternity with God. But what are we doing right now with the time that we have? Are you getting God's divine guidance? Are you hearing his voice? Are you aiming for the best? Are you part of his purpose and his plan to restore the world? So the very basics of that, see, that old covenant that Moses had with God's people way, way back in the day that was about being God's distinctive people in the world and furthering his kingdom, they failed over and over and over and over again, because even though they were God's people, they were still infected with the basic problem of humanity. The basic problem that our own predisposition to pursue self-destructive behavior and poison. I mean, the traditional word for that is sin. It's not just breaking a rule. It's our very nature that undermines our true humanity. And so that in the new covenant, the new agreement God established, Jesus came to make that possible. That's the story of his death and resurrection. That when we follow his path to the death of ourselves for the rebirth of ourselves as true humanity, then we participate, then we have the opportunity to participate in his restoration of the world, the kingdom. And so this is, I want to encourage you in a couple of ways. First of all, pursue God's voice in your daily life. We've had a couple of stories over the past weeks. A couple of weeks ago, the person who was sharing their story said, Sunday morning is not enough. And she was right. Sunday morning is not enough. And she was saying, I found my spiritual vitality. I understood. I was hearing God's voice in my small group, sharing life with other people. Having that commitment to one another, with a small group of people say, we're gonna work this out together. And then last week, the person who shared their story said, my life was so busy, it wasn't enough. I had to separate time every day to hear from God. And I would get up early and make that happen. And so there are three things, three ways that we hear from God. One is here, all together, a lot of people together, which is great. I mean, it's really, I think it's really hard to have that dynamic worship experience with three people. And you have a band here, and it's great, and you know, there's one message that everybody hears, but it's really hard to do life together when everybody's facing the same direction. So this is why we always, we harp on this. Get involved in a small group. Get two or three or four or five people that are good friends and start doing life together. Sort this stuff out. Work it out in your daily life. And then meet with God on a daily basis. Start that life of prayer that Graham mentioned this morning, where you are hearing from God, where he is giving you that divine direction, that aim, that focus, that purpose that he has for your life that may be distinct from anybody else, because every human being is unique, you are unique, and God has a unique purpose for you. And if there's anyone here that has not even started that because they don't know what it means, they've never had that actual, you've never actually stepped into that relationship with God, well, how do you do that? Well, I say this every week, it is as simple as ABC. First, admit your need for God. Second, believe that God has that life for you. That highest aim, he has that for you that he's made possible through Jesus' death and resurrection. And then three, commit yourself to that. Commit yourself to him in relationship. And if you are here today and you want to do that for the first time, you need to do something to respond. And so we have a couple of methods. The first and easiest one, well, maybe it's not. I don't know. One of these two is easier for you. We have connection cards, get connected, and if you fill out your contact information and check the box, I've decided to become a follower of Jesus today, and give it at the information desk. Or you can just text me, because my number's on the screen. It's helpful if you put your name on there, so I don't understand that you're just a number. But put your name in the text and say, I'm in. And then I'll contact you, and then we can discuss, like, where do we go from here? How do you get plugged into a small group? How do I learn how to hear from God on a daily basis and live out that life with him? We're going to close the service in a minute, but I do have one announcement before we close. We have been on a journey over the past month and a bit to bring a new staff member on staff. And so I am happy to announce that we do have a new staff member coming. Her name is Claudette. She will be starting in a week and a half, and she will be taking all the administration portfolio as well as pastoral care. This is somebody that comes with 15-plus years of experience, and so we're going to do some kind of introduction, not next Sunday, but two or three. Maybe we'll make her tell her story. She doesn't know that yet. So we're really excited about that. Plan to give her a bit of a hard time, because as we do with everybody on staff, but we'll try to be nice to her. And so watch for Claudette coming on staff. And I'm just really happy to announce that we have those responsibilities going to be taken care of very well. So we're going to close the service in prayer. I'm going to invite you to stand. Immediately after the service, the Theater One becomes a prayer room. So the prayer focus for today is to pursue hearing God's voice, God's direction for you, to walk into the path, that purpose that he has for your life, his specific purpose for you. There's nobody who loves you as much as God does, and there's nobody that has the capability to give you your best life than God does. So we always encourage people, find one person you never met before, have a meaningful conversation with them. But we just ask you to have those conversations in the lobby so that this room can be reserved for prayer. I encourage you, if you don't know what to aim at, if you're maybe floundering in your life, stay and pray and ask God to speak to you. We always invite people. You can pray by yourself. You can pray with somebody else. You can pray with your small group. Pray with family members. But this becomes a room of prayer, and we'll provide atmospheric music for that to happen, to facilitate that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you love us beyond what we can imagine, that you have the capability to direct us and lead us and provide for us beyond what we can imagine. Father, we acknowledge that you have the best possible life for us, and that it's so easy to slide and slip into the defaults of our culture. But Father, I pray for each one here that between right now and next week Sunday, you would speak to them clearly. You would speak to each one of us clearly. Here is the way. Walk in that. Father, I pray that you would not allow us to give in to fear, But help us to put our trust, our faith in you, and to step into the most meaningful life that we could possibly live. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.